The memorial altar, emerging from darkness, was set up in Freedom Square at the Sanctuary for Independent Media on the weekend of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I'm here with Luz Marquez Benbow, sexual assault survivor and advocate, community organizer. Could you please tell us about your affiliation with the altar and with the community?
Sure. Thank you for having me. I am a local community organizer. I am a survivor of an adult survivor of child sexual abuse, and I also work to end child sexual abuse and sexual violence, particularly in the lives of women and people of color. How I connect to the community altar that we held at the sanctuary is that the sanctuary is actually a place where an organization that I helped to found with several other comrades known as Turf Black Lives would meet and organize. And so it's sort of a home base for us. One of the things that we had been talking about, thinking about all that we had as a community, as a country, as a globe, been experiencing given the global health pandemic, given the political nuance of having a highly conservative and difficult president, as well as the political uprisings around Black lives that took place across the globe. And particularly for us in the capital region, we had 11,000 people in our city. And then the day-to-day struggles of what it means to grieve in isolation because of the pandemic and trying to keep folks safe. And so we all sort of came together in the way that communities do and talked about creating a community altar. And so it just became sort of like this community project. And that's the beauty about altars, because altars are as strong as the folks who create the altar. And it's a reflection of those who maintain the altar. And so, you know, a couple times it got a little brutal with the cold and the wind. And then we would just call each other and see who could go by, you know, and kind of tend to it. I think when we look back at this time of COVID, I think for those of us who live here in Troy and our surrounding neighbors will remember this altar. And I hope they have a memory as sweet as yours, where you're just like, you know, it's dark, but you can see the glitter and the lights in central Troy.
I love what you said about the people who are tending to the altar. That energy goes into it. It's so, I guess I always thought of an altar as the one way you're getting from the altar, but you're also giving to the altar. Could you talk a little bit more about the cultural significance of altars? It might differ, but for you, how do you relate to the altar?
Sure. So it does differ, right? So there are so many different faiths, and every faith has some type of altar. Some are very minimal, and some are extravagant. And depending what faith community you represent is what your altar represents. I am a Black Boricua, meaning I am a Black Indigenous person from Puerto Rico. And so for my people and many people of African descent or descendants of Africa who were enslaved and brought over in shackles to this country, many of us brought our beliefs and our values. And part of that is what we call and refer to as African traditions. For us as Black folks, altars demand our respect and our attention and intention. You know, the idea of an altar, which is a very ancient craft for people, is something that also allows you to tap into the future right from the past. And so for many of us, it's what we utilize to ground us. And so the way that this looks in many communities where there might have been a gun shooting or someone struck by a car and killed, is you will see candles on a corner with a cross or with flowers. And that is a way that folks continue to uplift that part of how important an altar is as we see people transition from life, as we see people grieve from something painful, and also as people need inspiration and resistance. And so for folks who might be listening who are used to coming to our events for Troy for Black Lives, we believe that in order to fight against white supremacy and patriarchy, we have to use every tool that we can. And so most folks are used to the tools of demonstrations or rallies, protests, or organizing around a city council law or a piece of legislation or boycotts or sit-ins. There's various kinds of ways that you can organize against an issue. And for us at Joy for Black Lives, it includes altars and it includes our deep rooted connection to our ancestors and those freedom fighters that came before us, because we believe that we are their legacy into this current realm. And so I hope that makes some sense to folks, but altars for me, and altars for me as a survivor also, is part of my own ritual of how I stay grounded and how I deal with my everyday trauma of what it means to be an adult survivor of child sexual abuse and incest. And so for us, it was really a way of remembering and grieving during a time of COVID.
And the altar is changing and moving now, yes. But the community still continues to feel grief in many different ways, like you mentioned. What can the sanctuary do to continue to be there for the community?
While, yes, our altar is moving and consolidating, we're not letting go of it. And we are going to continue as a group to work in collaboration with people like Urban Grief, the People's Health Sanctuary, and all of our leaders in our community to be accountable to them by taking care of each other. You know, I know you're asking me about the altar and you're asking me about the sanctuary, but the thing about the altar and the thing about what the sanctuary is doing and what groups like Troy for Black Lives and Reimagine Troy and the Troy Black Leaders Coalition and the NAACP and other groups are doing is we're trying to respond and be accountable to our community while calling on changes in our community around law enforcement and around the debilitating impact of these fires that we've had these last 4 or 5 months. You know, poverty continues to be really stricken in our community, as well as we're still in a global health pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're shifting. We're not letting go of this idea of an altar. We're hoping to grow with our community around what does it mean to heal in a collective community. For years, we think about healing as a one-on-one session, and it's an individual with another. And people can still do that, but people can also heal in community. And that is a very, very Black Afrocentric value. It's a very Indigenous value. It's a very Asian, you know, Pacific value. And it's a very Latino value of healing, of being in community and being accountable to each other, not just when something is wrong, but also when something's good or inspiring.
I really like that idea of not healing in isolation, but healing with the community. I think that's really important.
It is important. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences with how the altar is significant beyond the altar and what the community needs. What else did we leave out from the conversation that needs to be included?
I think one of the things that you had asked me when we were preparing for this was about what does the community need in terms of support? And while I'm just one person and I don't necessarily know what my entire community needs, but what I do know is that whatever we've been doing up until last year has not worked. Altars are a way to show resistance and to show presence, right? Because most of the times we see them when someone has passed or been killed in a certain, in an area. And so in that area becomes significant to place a cross and to put candles. And so it shows that someone was here. It shows that a human being lost life here somehow. And it shows resistance, you know, and I really hope that people can hear what that means, that yes, it's resistance to have 11,000 people come into your city for Black Lives, but it's also resistance to show that people can come together during a pandemic, during a really uncertain time around what side of the political realm do you lie in or do you stand on? regarding defunding the police or gun violence or any political sort of issue that comes up, that the altar is resistance and in its face. And it's something that I hope that folks can incorporate as they continue rising across the country, because the spiritual realm is just as critical to Black liberation as the physical world that we live in. And so just wanted to add that.